Time for Stardom, Joshi 2010s. I believe this is episode 66. So years into this journey now, out of the dark ages. Thank you all for joining here on the Red Lift Retrocast Patreon. I'm JD as usual, as always. If you're listening on the All Japan Women Destiny feed, please consider that sub to help support and get into the Google Drive for ease of access, along with a good community that we can talk about the history of Joshi professional wrestling. And this was an episode I was vastly looking forward to because it is the first five-star Grand Prix from Stardom. Here we are, year and a half into this company. Last we left off, we're at the Stardom X Stardom show, not too long before the Grand Prix starts. And if you kind of take a look at the schedule that Stardom runs between kind of August through to the end of the year, they've really kept the schedule the same year over year. You know, you have Stardom X Stardom, a pay-per-view in August. Then you go into the Grand Prix. Then you go right into Tag League. That takes you to the year-end climax. Now, obviously, that's been adjusted with, like, plus or minus the weeks, but the format of timing on the year has remained the same. We look at kind of what's happening in 2023, which is fun because the five-star, as I'm recording, this is going on right now. They just had the second return annual Stardom X Stardom show, but it happened in the middle of the five-star. They're running pay-per-views in the five-star, building up title matches. They just announced what the tag league is going to look like this year to varying degrees of opinion, mostly on the negative. I guess we'll see what happens there when we get to the year-end climax and what's going to happen on, well, Osaka Champion Night, which is coming up in a few episodes from now. And then the change of what happens going towards the end of the year. Let's backtrack to Stardom X Stardom, where it was the makeup match because of Yuzuki Aikawa's injury. They had to postpone the Yoko Beato match. They made up for it there. The Nai Takahashi and the Red Belt was in the semi-main event against Yoshiko, which was a good match. And this turned out to be Yoko Beato's last match until she does return a number of years later from this event. Much like in the same vein as Arisa Hoshiki and a number of other people that kind of come and go throughout the promotion. But Beato essentially retires due to injury. That is the common belief there. I've seen a couple other theories rolled around, but she definitely retires due to injury the second time. No doubt about that. So where does that leave heading into the five-star? Well, maybe if you aren't familiar with the history of Stardom, Mayu Iwatani had quite the reputation of being kind of the lowest end person on the roster next to like an Ari Susa kind of deal. A little bit better in that sense, but along with a few other rookies, they were just kind of off the tour, right? Ari Susa's kind of quitting. Mayu Iwatani is just not in the five-star Grand Prix. Okay. If we look at the wrestlers in the two blocks, this tournament is over the course of six shows and five nights. That's how it's formatted. Mostly at Shinkiba First Ring. We, of course, will get very familiar with Shinkiba First Ring. We're going to look at some attendances here in a little bit as I go into them, much like I did with the DualShock Wave tournament that I just reviewed the very previous episode. And we're going to have some comparisons because this Grand Prix tournament takes place essentially from, let's get the first date here right, August 19th all the way till the final on September 30th. Okay? The Wave tournament, as I get my Excel cheat sheet back up, the Wave DualShock tournament takes place at the end of September and goes till mid-November. So kind of back-to-back tournaments in that sense. But I did that tournament first on the schedule, mostly because I wanted to do the Wave start date and the Stardom end date, because I wasn't sure if I could get the DVDs for the whole Grand Prix, and I thought I could only get, like, the final, like, night, essentially. But regardless, I got all 6 shows that were covered for the Grand Prix. Now, let me pull up the competitors here. So I'm going to go to, keeping it simple, I'm going to go to the 5-star Grand Prix tournament on Wikipedia, which actually has something I will get into that is an incorrect notion on some sites I've seen covered this. There was not a playoff match on the first night, at least not in the definition of the term. But here are your competitors. Okay, here are your wrestlers. Yuji Kaikawa, Nanai Takahashi, your 2 champions, make up the leaders of A Block, right? And then you have quite an interesting quattro here of Aki Asakawa, Io Shirai, Yoshiko, and the newly debuted Supernova, as I'll call her, Yuhi. So a very good block. And I can tell you right away, that's where the good matches came from. In the other block, you have Natsuki Taiyo trying to carry everyone to a good match. You got Kyoko Kimura, Dark Angel, otherwise known as Rosita, otherwise known as current AEW coach Sarah Stock. Very much a CMLL type lucha libre wrestler. Saki Kashima and Kairi Hojo, kind of rearing up the end there. Also in rookie form. So not a lot of, I would say, extremely bad wrestlers other than Miho Wakizawa. She is definitely not my favorite person in this tournament. She begins a few of her matches rubbing like yellow paint on people's faces and does some comedy, and mostly her matches are cut to like 5 to 6 minutes with a couple 10-minute ones that just go entirely too long. So I will not be going into a lot of Miho Wakizawa matches, to say the least. So yeah, 2 blocks, 6 people in each block. Everyone faces each other once. And the top people that finish in their block with a tiebreaker option will face each other in a one-on-one match for the final with no time limit. There is a 15-minute time limit draw in this, so very much in the vein of 2023. And the quality is certainly way different comparing 2012 to 2023, or even 2022, if you were going to want to go a decade later. So I will return to that block results much later. Now, what was the attendance like for this tournament? Very first of its kind. What did it do? Well, the opener got 403 at Shinkiba. Night 2 got 272 in Osaka at the Minami Move On Arena. Now, if that sounds familiar, yes, the DualShock Wave Tournament ran a show in Osaka at the same place. They also got 272. So that is my belief of a sellout at that point in time. So maybe I got to re-listen to my audio there of what I said about Wave's Osaka number. But I, depending on my answer, I might have to backtrack and say that is a good number for the, I guess, building that they ran. Could they have done more is the question then at that point. Let's see, I was on Osaka, and then day 3 of the Grand Prix went to Nagoya at Telepia Hall, a very packed house for that show. 424 people went to that show, currently the clubhouse leader of attendance for the 5-star. And you're like, wait a minute, DualShock Wave ran a show in Nagoya. What did they get then? Well, Nagoya for the DualShock Wave got 273 at the Diamond Hall. Very, very different attendance there. And that was the one where I was incredibly critical of kind of the card they put together, what it meant for the tournament. And again, depending on my answer, might have to backtrack and say that's a poor number for what Wave did and compare it to the Stardom number, which to gangbusters in the far-off year of 2012 for the Joshi independent scene. Day 4, we're back at Shinkiba First Ring, a little bit down, 403. We'll call this like the semifinal day, where they're kind of trying to get like point situations figured out there. And then what they did was they did two shows on September 30th, an afternoon show and an evening show. And if you're familiar or you're a fan of Stardom, let's call it pre-Bushiroad era, before the buyout, Stardom would often do afternoon and evening shows on certain tours to get the theory is to double their attendance, right? And we see Wave kind of do that tactic a lot in this era, and they'll get to that point. You don't really see it through a lot of other companies. Maybe a TJPW show you can point to every now and again. But Stardom was very known for doing kind of the back-to-back. So is Dragon Gate. You know, I believe in Fukuoka, they have at least a back-to-back day on the weekend, or they run an afternoon evening show. So for the purpose of what their intent is, they got 3:43 for the afternoon to kind of plug, hey, you just watched the end of the Grand Prix. Now you know who's like in the finals, essentially. And they got 3:42 for the evening. Did everybody buy a ticket twice, or did they? Was their ticket good for both the evening and afternoon show? Not sure I know the answer to that. I know a lot of Wave shows advertise that if you buy a ticket, it's good for, it's like a group package. Could not confirm if that was the case back then. If we're calling it a group package and they get 340 for both an evening and afternoon show, I think that's a poor number then. You want to at least get your 400 number that you got earlier. Now, if they sold it twice and they were able to get, well, double the tickets for a 685 number, essentially, then that's good. They were able to double down and get double the money that they needed to. So depending on what that answer is, depends if it's good or bad, even in the sense of 2012. So those are your attendance breakdowns. Let's get into the show, okay? And unlike what happened with DualShock Wave and how the matches played out, how they were all kind of the same, and I was very disappointed, I really took a lot of notes as the matches went on through this 4-DVD set that I got for this 5-star tournament. Short notes, longer notes, in-the-moment reaction. I got recs for multiple matches throughout this. My overall thoughts on the tournament is, yeah, there's a lot of people that wrestle at a low level at this point in time. I was not expecting, like, Saki Kashima to go out there and have a 4-star match, right? I wasn't going out there even expecting Kairi Hojo to give me something respectable in the sense of even a 2 out of 3 recommendation. We'll call that the 3.5-star range area, okay? I had some other expectations, like could Tayo have a style that really molded with a number of different people to bring out the best in them? What is the game Io Shirai, Yoshiko are going to bring in this, while you got Yuhi and Act Yasukawa very much on opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Act Yasukawa is very charismatic. She's spitting and she's snarling promos, but her wrestling is kind of no good. Yuhi doesn't have a lot of charisma, but she's athletic as hell and can possibly bring excitement in that range. So, very much interesting on that note. And then, what is Kyoko Kimura's business in this promotion at this point? Okay? She's got something going on with Tayo, so I like the booking to put her in that same group. She's not the greatest wrestler by any means. She's kind of on the low end as we've really gone over her wrestling ability through this, but she's also very charismatic. At least we do see that at some point. Does she bring it out in this tournament? And then finally, what are the roles of Aikawa and Takahashi in this tournament? Okay. Is Takahashi just going to roll everyone, be former AJW wrestler extraordinaire? Is Yuzuki Aikawa's star power going to prevail overall? And then can those two top players deliver to what's expected of them? Because they're going to be the ones presumably main eventing these shows and needing to put together your top matches, because Nanai is the world champion and Yuzuki Aikawa is the wonder champion. But as we've seen since the inception of this promotion, Yuzuki Aikawa is the star. Okay? She is the number one person in this promotion without question. Okay? She's the one main eventing Stardom X Stardom even just prior. Right? She's the one that's cutting promos. She's the one that this promotion is built around. Nanai? She's second place. Sure, the World of Stardom title in the hierarchy of titles is higher. But that's about it. Very interesting how we're going to go about this. So it is just the Grand Prix matches that we'll be talking about. There's some Hiroyo Matsumoto matches on the undercard, Mayu Iwatani's in tags, you know, the Harukaze's in there as well. You know, they're filling out the very bottom of the undercard. We don't need to worry about that. We don't need to watch those. They're very inconsequential to a lot of things. I mean, shit, there's even like a handicap match at some point to open up shows. Think of it as your like teenager Rina versus Hina matchup, or your modern day Lady C versus Waka. Okay. So we begin on night one. The very first match out of the gate for the five star is Yoshiko against Yuhi. 9:46. A messy ass match ends with Yoshiko choking out Yuhi. Remember that finish. Okay. Again, some of these reviews are going to be longer than others, depending on how interesting the match was or what it meant. So keep that in mind. Dark Angel, whom I will go back and forth in calling her Sarah Stock and Rosita quite a lot. Rosita was her TNA name, by the way. 4:47, Dark Angel wins a nice, easy, simple match. Easy lucha-type stuff. Bow and arrow hold wins it over Saki Kashima. Natsuki Taiyo versus Kairi Hojo. Almost 8 minutes. And did Taiyo forget this is a work at the end of this match? Two drop kicks with actual whiplash. Okay. As in, Hojo looks like she just smacks her like neck backwards in multiple degrees of angles. The stiffest spin kick looks... It honestly looks like she's kicking the air out of their chest. So Kairi was sitting down in this position, and then Taiyo ends up doing this like paradise lock and pins her with an unneeded bridge to win. I was just thinking, what the fuck was this? And little did I know, this was going to be the style of Natsuki Taiyo throughout this five-star tournament. Why? There's some theories we're going to start developing here. Keep that in the back of your head. Act Yasukawa versus Yuzuki Aikawa, 8:39. 1 out of 3 recommendations, so our first recommended match of the tournament, which is funny because my notes say an abomination of a start, but one hell of a finish. And it's your first real sense that these singles matches matter, okay? Near falls and counters off of switching between Axe getting a stretch muffler in, and Aikawa's barrage of Axe kicks is going to also be a theme throughout her matches, but the way she's able to put them together is quite enticing. Now, Axe Yasukawa is going to be utilizing the stretch muffler throughout the tournament and trying to reverse into them. Yeah, she's got her alcohol spots and she's trying to do other things, but the stretch muffler is key. Unfortunately, the only match where, like, the transitions and counters and even the execution of getting into the stretch muffler worked was this match. No one else could figure out what Act Jessica was doing with this move. So they'd, like, trip over each other, they'd fall on the mat awkwardly, it never went well. But for this match, crowd went absolutely crazy for these final 2 minutes. It saved everything. Yeah, top match so far. Kyoko Kimura, Miho Wakazawa, 9:15, a bad match with bad Miho comedy. An eternity later, a headbutt, and it's over for the Kyoko W. And Kyoko Kimura's matches all are going to hit the same, too. Maybe a small brawl on the outside. She tries this weird shoot style that we're familiar with, but you know, a little ground action from behind and then just trying to hit like weird forearms. She towers over everyone, but she's very kind of awkward in the way she moves. She wants to hit sleepers, but never really locks them in quite right. And it all leads until an eventual headbutt that the crowd pops for, and then they'll go to the finish shortly after that, if not go for a pin. The headbutt always gets the pop. Nothing else really does with Kyoko. Main event of night one, Io Shirai and Nanai Takahashi. Just under the 15-minute mark. 14 minutes, 56 seconds. I went 2 out of 3 on this. I thought this was excellent. Felt like a 20-minute draw. So many mistimed sequences and pins. Okay? Starts hot and then goes into an entire middle of just mat work to catch their breath. Now, obviously, they're like conserving energy and getting to that point for a hot finish, but even the hot finish was naturally with a ton of mistimed spots. So unlike what happened with the ACT Yuzapon match, where it had a hell of a nice finish, this one had its bad moments as well. So the work was technically better. But did I like the Aikawa ACT match more? I might have, yeah. That might have been the case. Regardless, I still went 2 out of 3, but man, Io Shirai is just clearly already at that top level with her athletic ability, and now she's putting it in the ring as well. Nanai, she's probably at or near her peak here, but the style isn't anything special, nor does she have that it factor. Can she put together a good match like this? It's well worked. You know, she hits her lariats. She has her top rope splash. She has more lariats, shoulder blocks. There's just not a lot between the bells for Nanai. And I was disappointed with what she was able to show with this Io Shirai match. But, hey, anyways, it ends with an incredibly rushed finish on top of it because they're trying to beat the clock at that point. So Nanai hits a random, like, muscle buster, but with a driver to the front instead of the spike. It came out of nowhere. It definitely failed in what it was going for exactly. So take that for what's worth. And we're going to start seeing Nanai go through these phases of how she's kind of wrestling these matches. And there's one move in this match, which Io Shirai does the Muda cartwheel elbow. You know, she's doing backflips, and then Nanai tries to do a cartwheel, and it's horrible, right? And she's tripping over herself, and, you know, usually you would say, okay, the heel is going to make a fool out of themselves, but what happens is Nanai clearly tries to show that she can do it too. And when it comes off as comedy, because she was so bad at it, she tries to lean into this with a spot, a match, where she's doing something like this or on purpose, and it ends up like that. There is a botch later in the tournament, which is very noticeable. So August 26th, Osaka. Let's speed run this show a little bit here until the main event. ACT Yasukawa and Yuhi, 5:21. ACT got wrecked by a barrage of Yuhi kicks. ACT wrecked girl. There you go. Rosita versus Kairi Hojo, 6:08. 0-for-2 for Stardom wrestlers trying to kick up with Sarah Stock here. So she did the kip up against Saki. Saki fails. Kairi tries to kip up. She fails worse. But Stock got the basic lucha moves and does some easy flips. She got some CML dancing routine to her. She does it in every match. Kairi then decides she's going to try and dance too. And she does the worst hip thrusting in the world. And a dance so bad, even Waka and Club Venus would be embarrassed by. Okay. Stock wins via the bow and arrow. Kairi, whoa, she's not good here. Natsuki Taiyo versus Wakazawa, 9 minutes. I thought this kind of sucked as well, especially, well, Wakazawa's in it. Fast Taiyo finished with her doing a twisting roll-up. We move on. Nanai Takahashi, Yoshiko, a mess. Nothing like their Stardom X Stardom match. This had weird moves, weird movements, weird moments, just weird. There's a 1 minute or so stretch where they are just on the mat, laying there. They're looking at each other. They have no idea how to kill this time. Ends in a 15-minute draw. This was a very poor outing from the both of them. And this would kind of go on to be what Yoshiko's tournament is going to be like, unfortunately. We get to our main event. Yuzuki Aikawa versus Io Shirai, just under 12 minutes. This fucking rocked. They just went at each other. They ended up just punk kicking each other into the face. Io's flipping all over the place. Aikawa's meeting her at the apex with kicks. This rocked from start to finish. Big axe kick combo finish. Io in the mud. Yuzuki Aikawa's kicking her to the Fed 10 years later. Aikawa is the star. She is her. This ruled 3 out of 3 recommendation. And guys, this is one of the better matches of 2012 in women's wrestling, especially from what I've covered so far of this tournament. And this match made me look back on, like, what is the quality standard of 2012? And yes, I have said that 2012 is better than 2011, while 2011 was not better than 2010. Well, 2012 is maybe not better than 2010 either. 2012 just has not hit at a high level for really a lot of the promotions, and I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of rookies, a youth movement of putting a lot of matches together, and the old stars kind of starting to fade away for the final time. Okay? Yes, there's a lot of time still to go, but they are heading in that direction. Yuzuki Aikawa, Io Shirai, a, dare I say, match of the year contender for women. We go to Nagoya. Saki Kashima, Kari Hojo, 421. Saki with the win. Is that right? Hold on. Yes, Saki wins. 2 points for Saki. Kairi, also in the mud. Who needs her? Who's she? Who'd she ever beat? What'd she ever do? Io Shirai, Akt Yasukawa. Yeah, Io wins. 736, 1 out of 3. This was standard, harmless. I enjoyed it. Slapped a 1 out of 3 on it. That's fine. Rosita against Mio Wakazawa. Major top rope hurricane and Rana botch in this match. That's what anyone who watches this will remember. What happens is Wakazawa overjumps Sarah Stock, who's sitting on the buckle, and they just fall backwards to the floor. Stock has a busted up elbow, a tweaked knee. They somehow finish the match with Wakazawa winning, but this was an oof. Nanai Takahashi against Yuhi. Nanai gave a little bit more in this match than I thought. She did hit the mat quite a lot and never really let Yuhi do 2 consecutive moves in a row. That's kind of a format Nanai is really perfecting, so to say, in Stardom. Just kind of thought it was boring. It wasn't, like, bad, but it definitely wasn't any good. And speaking of no good, another Yoshiko match. She's against Yuzuki Aikawa. 15-minute draw. Rough and boring. Kyoko Kimura, Natsuko Taiyo in the main event, 10:50, trying to rekindle what they left at the previous big show with the excellent kind of false count anywhere brawl that they had. And they didn't reach anything near that level. I can't even recommend it. It was very much a Kimura match trying to ground Taiyo, so the absolute opposite. What you want to see in a Natsuki Taiyo match? So we move on to Shinkiba. Here we go. Wakazawa Kairi Hojo, 5:35. Let's see. That would be Wakazawa with the win. Kairi still at 0 points. Okay. Io Shirai against Yuhi. Now put this in your head. Io Shirai does flips. Yuhi's very athletic teenager who is one of the hottest prospects in women's wrestling. A glorious mess. Objectively messy. Could not take my eyes off it. This was cool. Lots of cool flips and tricks. And by the end of it, the crowd was super into it. Yuhi's doing moonsaults knees first into Io Shirai's face. Io Shirai's doing moonsaults where she's crashing like Keiji Muto's knees into the chest of Yuhi. They forgot it was a work because they couldn't land properly on their opponent. So very much in the sense of a glorious mess. So 2 out of 3 recommendation, maybe a little high. It really made me reminisce of how I felt about that Aikawa Hikaru Shida match at the Bull Nakano retirement show, which Shida remembers via the Talk is Jericho podcast as a match she hated. It was objectively poor, we'll say, but again, could not take my eyes off it. And that does count for something. Natsuki Tayo against Saki Kashima, and I'm not kidding you, a 15-minute draw. So this was a match strictly for the points. 1 out of 3 rec, because it was well-worked and had good drama, but oh my god, this was the match, okay? Saki's face is completely swollen by the end of this. And so much so, I believe she essentially had to take like a week off or so. Is that right? Let's see. This show was on September 17th, and the next show was on September 30th. Yeah, so supposedly she got so beaten up that she was just out of the dojo for a week to heal up. Because, oh my god, she took such a very unnecessary beating here. Tayo has gotten, she's gone over the line with working super stiff in this tournament. So now I'm raising my eyebrow at all this. Okay. Interesting booking to have Saki simply survive getting beat to death rather than just getting pinned, but clearly it was a points situation. Yoshiko defeats Akita Yasukawa, 9 minutes 30 seconds. This chokeout is just not over as a finisher. It's just crickets. And I'm not even saying that from the ignorance of I know these Joshi crowds are just not the loudest at all, but I mean, we're talking a warehouse of, you would never guess that there was, you know, 300-400 people in there. Rosita Kyoko Kimura, 11:34, slow and not good, like a rough looking CMLL match for women. And they botched the roll up finish on top of it. And the biggest shocker of the tournament, Yuzuki Aikawa versus Nanai Takahashi, champion versus champion. Any normal, sane person would immediately think this is ending up in a 15-minute draw, a double countout situation, neither's going to get pinned. But no. 3 out of 3 recommendation, 4 stars flat. I don't believe it, even to myself. We know who the star is. Match rocked. Multi-spin kicks, spinning roundhouse, axe kick, then boom. The Tiger Suplex is hit. 1, 2, 3. Yuzupon pins the World of Stardom champion Nanai Takahashi. Is this her first loss in Stardom to date? It has to be in a singles situation. And this is one of the few times I'm able to confidently say this. Nanai put over the star. She put her over. And she didn't do any bullshit. She didn't cut a shitty promo afterwards. She went in there to work and did the job to the person that should have won. To the number one person in this promotion. Because it sure as shit ain't her. 12 minutes, 59 seconds. Yes, the shock has a lot to do with it for me. But I kid you not, this match was good. And Yuzuki Aikawa, she has what so many people are missing in women's wrestling in 2012. And Joshi wrestling especially. And that is the it factor. She knows how to animate herself in the ring. She knows how to build up drama. She's an excellent babyface in peril. She's so easy to root for. She's got the look. She's good enough in the ring for how she's pushed, right? And she clearly tries, and she has an offense that she's capable of and making it look good. And that matters. That certainly matters. I gotta throw this out there. This Nanae Takahashi and this Yuzuki Aikawa are on a good little roll in this tournament, okay? And for it to come down to essentially, what is this, night four this happens on? The main event of night four, Echinkiba 403. And that's an interesting one. So the opening night got 403, okay? And so did this one with the double title match. I don't know. Maybe run it at face next time? But they don't really do Shinjuku face. So kudos to doing the job as she should have. Very much enjoyed that. So, here we are, September 30th. It's day five. It is now kind of points are on the line situation, do or die. And we got some good drama here on the final night. I don't think, like, any of the matches were really any good, but we got the drama nonetheless. Miho Wakazawa against Saki Kashima, 10 minutes, 40 seconds. Terribly long, terribly boring. Miho wins. Kairi Hojo, Kyoko Kimura, they fucked this finish up so bad. So at the 10-minute mark, Kyoko and Kairi are brawling outside. And they're on the ramp of Shinkiba. And the ref's counting. And it's Wada from All Japan Pro Wrestling. And it was certainly a mixture of the ref didn't want to count him out. Maybe he wasn't, like, privy of the finish. Or maybe it's because Kyoko Kimura tried to get in the ring at 19 to break the count, and that's what happened. But that wasn't the finish, so Kyoko fucked it up. Kyoko also looks stupid because she does a headbutt at 19 and then kind of stumbles around the ring. So Wada should have just counted her out right then and there. This was just a disaster. Like, I'm not even kidding you. She was in the ring at, like, 19 and a half. And the ref's, like, looking at her. But he did delay the 20 count. So Kairi's holding her. And then Kyoko just kind of gets in the ring. And then he rings the bell. And they go count out. This was such a botch. So terrible. Nothing about this was good. What a disaster. But there's your tiebreaker right there again. Kyoko and Tayo had their one-on-one. And now they both have the one-point draw, basically. You can tell where this is going. Okay. Nanae Takahashi, Akita Yasukawa, 953. All of Nanae matches in this tournament are do something completely unathletic at least once. Well, here it is again. First couple were the goofy, terrible cartwheels that she couldn't do. And the others was something like here, where she tried to jump from one rope, the bottom one, near the turnbuckle, to the second one. And this woman has like a 2-inch leap. Again, Nanae has just no athletic ability at all. And it shows even during this era. It is... she's awkward, guys. She's incredibly awkward. And it's moments like this where I just go, she ain't her. Nanae, you know, she does win this pretty handily. 953. Doesn't give Act, like, anything. And we move on to Yuzuki Aikawa against Yuhi. Look, simple. Worked well, worked good enough for the skill. I went a generous little 1 out of 3 here. 8 minutes, Yuzuki wins. And due to the tiebreaker win over Nanae Takahashi, Yuzuki Aikawa is through to the finals, and Nanae is out. So there you go. They both tie on 7 points, no matter what, and they win. Is that right? Or can Yoshiko lose? No, if Yoshiko wins, she's through. That's what makes the main event. So Natsuki Tayo versus the Sarah Stock, 9 minutes, 19 seconds. 2 out of 3 rec. This ruled. This was Tayo's best match of the tournament, and it was the best match of Block B. Mucha Lucha, straight up good Lucha match. Go, go, go. Tayo wins with the top rope belly-to-belly Spanish fly deal. That rocked. all it was missing was some heavy, like, near falls for some more drama. And so that puts Kyoko Kimura now in a situation where she has one match left against Saki Kashima scheduled for the finals night. And Kimura is in a must-win situation there. Otherwise, Natsuki Tayo goes through to the finals if Kyoko does not get a straight-up W for the points. 2 out of 3 rec, like I said. And we are at the finals. Io Shirai, Yoshiko. So Io Shirai's out at this point. She has 5 points. Even with the win over... No, she's at 3 points. With a win, she's only at 5. So she's done. Yoshiko's at 6. If she wins, she's got 8 and wins the block. Okay? Io sells all these big lariats now with a flip onto her stomach. It's so smooth. Great impact. Looks fantastic. Decent little match, but not something I'd recommend. Yoshiko is very hit and miss, as I keep saying throughout this. Mostly missed in this 5-star. Io wins with a Mahistral and then a bridge via Zack Sabre Jr. style on top of it and upsets Yoshiko. Personally, I would have flip-flopped this in the Aikawa-Yuhi match, personally. But I can totally understand why you'd want this match to be the main event, being that Yoshiko's the one that just saw opponents of Nanai and Aikawa earlier in the night get the points needed to force a Yoshiko win. It's just interesting that the person that needs the W ends up getting the L in the main event of the show. So it seems, might seem a little backwards. I probably would have along the lines had the Aikawa Yuhi match just because Aikawa is the bigger star, but I understand the decision here for Io Shirai Yoshiko. You would go in expecting that would be the superior match as well. Then we get to the final night. Kyoko Kimura, Saki Kashima, 10 minutes, 35 seconds. Kyoko must win, and she did. And it took a bit, and the crowd wanted to see the upset, but alas, Saki got choked out for the TKO. So, where does that leave us? With the final standings and our finals of Aikawa against Kyoko Kimura. Well, Act Yasukawa, 2 points. Yuhi, 3 points. Io Shirai, 5. Yoshiko, 6. Nanai and Yuzuki each at 7, but Yuzupon with the tiebreaker win over Nanai. And then we have Kairi Hojo in dead last in this entire tournament with 1 point. Saki Kashima, 3. Sarah Stock, Rosita, Dark Angel at 6. Miho Wakazawa, unfortunately, getting 6 points. And then Natsuki Tayo and Kyoko Kimura, both at 7, and that's where Kyoko has the tiebreaker over Tayo. So people that go to the finals had the winning tiebreaker over they tied with. So easy booking there. No one got hurt in this tournament. And we get to the finals, and boy, oh boy, this is the definition of a they worked really hard match. I went 1 out of 3 recommendation on this, but even so, I was thinking, man, I might be a little generous there. Strong finishing sequence? Question mark? Help the drama of the match? I guess the fire-up barrage of spin kicks and axe kicks got myself into it to see the finish, but yeah, Aikawa finishes off this barrage with another tiger suplex to seal the deal. She's your first Grand Prix winner. I would say booking wise, you know, outside of a couple like botchy matches and, you know, just trying to make the points work, I would say attendance wise for 2012 and Stardom as the upstart company, this was a great success. They put over their biggest star as the first winner, and she's the Wonder of Stardom champion. They got to build up to that Sumo Hall show they announced, which is coinciding also with Aikawa's retirement show, because she's not long for this. And we're getting ready for a bunch of debuts. We're getting ready to replenish the roster again. And when they do the like awards and everything, they give, best technical to whomever and whatnot. Best match they gave to, I think it was Nanai and... It was definitely, yeah, it was Nanai and Yuuzhan was awarded the best match for the tournament. I am still under the Yuuzhan Io Shirai match, but, you know, number two isn't bad as well. So Yuuzhan striking the pose with the cape and the crown and the trophy. And she's trying so hard to get everything to balance right so she can strike the pose. And everyone's getting their awards. Kyoko Kimura never leaves the corner of despair after losing the finals. And couldn't help but notice every single person except one was like smiling in the end of show promo. And that was Nanai Takahashi. Just something to notice there. So, we got Tag League coming up for Stardom. Right away, in fact. There's one house show in Aomori. And then we get into... let's name some of these teams here. So we got Yuhi and Aikawa teaming up. Nozomi and Eri Tsusa. We got Io Shirai and Mayu teaming up for the first time, officially. Taiyo and Yoshiko, so there's your seedling or Team Nanai tag. Former AJW wrestlers, Miho and Nanai, are teaming up. And then you have Natsumi, Shozuki, and Kairi Hojo teaming up. That's an interesting team there. Natsumi, that's the returning Natsumi Sumikawa, who's now in that fake promotion Actress Girls. Yeah, there you go. That's funny. There's got to be more teams. Hold on. We got... Let's see. Veda Scott comes into this promotion. We got... Kimura Monster Goon starts. So it's Haley Hatred and Kyoko Kimura. They're a team. I don't know who She Nene is. Who is that? Miss Athena Jenny Brooks from Canada? Why does that sound familiar? Well, I guess I'll be jogging my own memory there. Well, anyways, I've been going on a while. I think this tournament was very successful. Not a whole lot of good to great matches. Not that I expected them, but the booking was solid. I thought it made a lot of sense. I enjoyed my time watching it. It was definitely a task to watch like 6 hours of 2012 Stardom content. And will that mean Yuuzhan challenges for the red belt, or will she simply get challengers coming out of this for her to defend against? I guess we'll find out as we continue on. The next episode will be over. We're heading back to Oz Academy, guys, and it's called the Get Over Show. And that is a Mayumi Ozaki, Ayumi Kurihara match. So I guess that's our first real taste of old guardness possibly coming into play. Show-wise, rating-wise, recommendation-wise, I give the Stardom 5-star grade. Somewhere between that 1 out of 3, 2 out of 3 recommendation scale. Hope you enjoyed this longer iteration of an episode. I almost went an hour here. Hope you wrote those matches down. Get into that Google Drive. Start downloading these things. It's 4 DVDs long. See you next time, everybody. Thank you for subscribing and listening.